Important day, I think, to do some reading on this. It's World AIDS Day today. This has been designated every year since 1988. And we just, in our What Happened When segment, we could look at things that happened. And last week was the anniversary of Freddie Mercury's passing. And that was a big thing. That was a massive thing. He announced he was sick with HIV and AIDS. The next day he passed away. There was the big tribute concert in 1992. But that's 30 years ago. And Magic Johnson's appearance on Arsenio's show to talk about his HIV diagnosis. For everyone in my generation, anyone born in the 70s, kind of 80s kids, as we call it, we grew up with this. And just as, to be honest, let's not blush about this, as many of us became sexually active, this was on our minds. And we're like, oh, great, something else to worry about. Like, there's not enough to worry about. But it was on our minds, and there was a stigma to it. And do some reading on this today. AIDS has killed between 30 and 42 million people worldwide. And it's still a massive, massive problem in third world countries, specifically African countries. So important to talk about, given we've been talking about the African countries and their response to this new Omicron variant. Very honored, always am, to bring on Dr. Isaac Bogosh. You've talked a lot about HIV. You and I have had our own discussions about HIV. It's remarkable how we moved, and I see echoes of, you know, unfortunately, for better or worse, usually worse, some of the coverage of COVID, some of the coverage really in the last few days that reminded me of the AIDS panic and alarm. Don't shake hands. You could get it from a toilet seat. All these ridiculous concepts and myths that stigmatize the disease early days for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really glad we're chatting about this today. Not only that, look who gets the short end of the stick time and time again. It's Africa. And in particular, it's Southern Africa. They obviously were decimated with HIV with very limited support for the longest time. Now they've got great scientists. I mean, we like to think of them as so helpless. Give me a break. They've got some fantastic scientists, some fantastic healthcare leaders. They isolated the Omicron variant. And what's the response? Punitive. Oh, we're going to ban travel to you. Never mind that it's all over the world. Never mind that there's community transmission outside of Southern Africa. The response is to ban travel to Africa and isolate people who have done their due diligence and done their duty to share this information with the world. And to, you know, we wouldn't be having Omicron discussions if it weren't for this, if it weren't for these scientists.
I mentioned World AIDS Day debuted on in 1988. You could, you know, retro-eyes yourself. We could play some crappy 80s songs to remind you what it's like to be in 1988 and get you some shoulder pads or something. But either way, when we remember back then, it was a lot more stigmatized than I mentioned. And 3 years later, even when we talked about Magic Johnson and Freddie Mercury, that you could barely get Western governments. That was 8 years of Ronald Reagan. You could barely get Western governments to acknowledge the importance of it. We literally want to put people in the closet and keep them away from us who had it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so awful. And I would say that now, even in Canada, there's still stigma toward HIV, and it's really unfortunate. And, you know, there's still tremendous global stigma, but it hasn't gone away here. If there's one thing that people listening should take home from this, I mean, there's lots to chat about, but I think one of the most important things is that if people are HIV positive and they go on medications, and remember, the medications are so good right now. We have people who are on one pill once a day. They will live a long, healthy, happy, completely normal life. All they have to do is take one tablet per day. And guess what? They can't give HIV to anyone else. They just take a tablet a day. As long as their virus is suppressed with that tablet a day, they won't give HIV to anyone else. That means like condomless sex. They won't give HIV to anyone else. The risk is zero. Okay. So like, and they look the same, they act the same, they function the same. Like, people still think that those with HIV, you know, there's some terrible misconceptions, you know, emaciated, terrible. No, if you have access to these medications, you have a long, healthy, happy, normal life. You're not giving HIV to anyone. You can fulfill your life dreams. You can have a family. You can do whatever you like. I mean, it's as simple as that. The real goal, hey, just like COVID-19, get the medications to everyone on earth. Get the medications, the equitable access to the medications. You hear that before? Equitable access to vaccines for COVID-19, equitable access to medications for HIV. It's redux, right? It's just a different disease this time.
And the oral pills and the cocktails saved lives from where it was at.
Big time.
Massively so. It's strange too, because I remember doing a commentary. I've always loved doing this as radio topics. I mentioned doing a documentary on it in journalism school. But I remember making somebody mad once when I said, HIV basically did stick to, you know, intravenous drug users and the gay community. And I didn't say that to stigmatize. I said, this is where our focus should be. This is where our effort should be. But it did not explode into the heterosexual population. What did we, I know the World Health Organization made some wildly outrageous predictions about who would have it, who would get it. Right. Why did it stay where it stayed? And again, we did everything we could to as like COVID, take the fire hoses to where the fires are. Why didn't it explode into the heterosexual pot? How did we get that so wrong?
Yeah, so a couple things. One is obviously we are having a value judgment free conversation. People will do what they do. And as long as people acknowledge that, that's great. The second thing is we have to think about, you know, networks of transmission, right? There was certainly a higher prevalence in men who have sex with men and a higher prevalence in people who inject drugs, because those were the risk factors. Mm-hmm. Like those were the condomless sex in a group where you have higher prevalence will result in a greater incidence of new infections. Now, let's also remind ourselves too that there are heterosexual individuals, including those of African descent, who are at greater risk. So, like in Africa, for example, and even in North America, there's still a lot of sexually transmitted HIV among heterosexual individuals. I think there's just different patterns and different smaller epidemics depending on where you are in the world. Now, again, we're lucky to live in a country where there's no reason if anyone's HIV positive, you have access to medications. They're affordable. They're effective. There's no reason you have to pay to get these medications. Like, we have truly transformed this here in Canada. The job isn't done. There's still lots to do from a stigma standpoint.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do from a prevention standpoint. But, I mean, we are eons ahead of where, you know, we were talking about in the 80s and early 90s, for sure.
And I'm glad you said that. And I should clarify, because I know better. It has basically stuck to the same, danger groups, if you will, again, in a judgment-free zone in North America, in Africa and other places. That's been a massive problem. And as well, men who have, to be honest, slept around and slept with a bunch of women unprotected, that's been part of the reason for its spread in some of these countries where women don't have the same equitable treatment and respect that we have here. And we got to change a lot of that as well. I've only got a couple minutes on COVID, and you're probably like, yay. But that said, I've had more, I don't know about you, I don't know about our audience. I feel like I've had more emotional ups and downs in the last 6 days than in a long, long time about COVID. We were going to such a good place. We were vaccinating 5 to 11-year-olds. We were dropping the PCR test. People would get to travel. Christmas was coming. And I feel better now today than I did yesterday at 4:30 with more travel bans of African countries, more nonsensical, non-science-based restrictions. Yeah. How are you with all this?
So for starters, it's not, you know, listen, so many of us are vaccinated. It's not like your protection from your vaccine is just going to evaporate overnight. It's not. You're still going to have some protection. The question is, you know, to what extent is there some erosion of that protection? But like those who are vaccinated are, you know, there's wild speculation and informed speculation. This is informed speculation. Mm-hmm. Your vaccine is going to provide you with significant protection against illness and hospitalization, death, et cetera. You know, we'll see to what extent this chips away at the protection, but it's not going to be 100% or anywhere close to that. The second thing is, listen, if the goal is to reduce the introduction of this variant into Canada, yeah, the measures that they announced will probably help slow it down. The question is, okay, so what do you do with that time? And the answer is, well, use that time wisely and start getting third doses in people who are 50 plus, start ramping up your sequencing, start ramping up your testing capacity in various places. You can use this time wisely. And then lastly, I totally agree with your point. Travel measures and travel restrictions to focused regions and to focused countries is performative. It doesn't do much at all. I mean, we know this virus is well beyond the borders of those countries that they listed, and including community transmission in countries that aren't even listed. So it, like, enough of this already. We can do better than that.
I got 20 seconds. Do you expect boosters to get expanded out to 18 plus, or do you think it'll be more a set demographic?
My guess will be 50 plus in the coming week or weeks. And then in 2022, we'll just gradually head down the pole of age until we reach 18 at some point.
You're going to get a lot of 45-year-olds looking for fake ID. It's not about buying stuff at the LCBO anymore. This isn't 1989. for guys like you and me. You had to get somebody older. Knowing somebody with an older brother that looked 19 was just a gift that kept giving. It really was.
Total godsend.
Loved having you on. Thanks for our chat today. Important stuff, especially the HIV stuff. I'm glad you spent time with me on that.
You will. Have a great day.
Dr. Isaac Bogosh, our guest.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.